Welcome back to the Georgia 2024 show. It's a new day, a new year, Bill. A lot of happy faces around. A lot of worried faces around on the other side, but I don't really care. What say you?
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. We're going to talk about some of both of those groups and partly what they're saying that I think we need to make sure we're aware of before we get too much further into this.
So we are brought to you by the Georgia Record, georgiarecord.com. We say it all the time. And CDM.press, please put us in your daily scan. CDM has global news from all around the world. You can get all of it if you don't like advertisements. You can get it with no ads, with our no ad subscription. It's fantastic. We're getting a lot of success and happiness with this. We're ramping up the ads because we have to. So if you don't want to see them, pay us 10 bucks a month or 100 bucks a year and you get all of CDM with no ads. We are the new wire service, the global wire service, global news without the globalist spin. And we are global from all over the world. There's a lot of news, Bill, that we try to, I guess, curate through. We can't do everything, but we try to bring news that people need to know to start their day. And so put CDM.press in your day. What are we going to talk about today, Bill?
Well, as we said, we're going to talk about some of the things that have happened just since the election, some things that Trump has been saying, and some of the responses he's getting both from around the world and notably from the media, which in some cases is even a bit more concerning. We're going to hear from Dr. Peter McCullough on some of his updates and some concerning things that for the folks that thought we were over with concerns about COVID and the jabs and everything else, that may not be fully true. And we need to keep an eye on that. And then we're going to be talking about some of the lingering indications and evidence of fraud in the elections. Just because Trump won does not mean that that's the end of the story. And it appears that other things are coming to light in the down ballot races, some of them, that we need to take account of. So we'll talk about all of those today.
And I want to bring up one issue. Tomorrow is Veterans Day, the end of World War I, Armistice Day, as it's known, and fantastic day. So please thank a veteran for giving up part of his or her life for us to have freedom. And I want to thank, on that note, all of the people who have been involved in the fight over the last 4 years to save this great republic. And I think all of us needed to be deserve a thank you. And the children will figure it out down the road what wonderful things we've done in the last 4 years. And we have to, but the fight is not over and we have to continue.
That's correct.
So let's get into our first subject, Bill.
Okay. So over the last few days, Trump has come out with six or seven now short videos, 4, 5, 6 minutes, talking about some of the areas that he and the administration will focus on as we go forward. We covered a number of these yesterday on our Saturday summary, and you can find that by going to, as Todd said, the Georgia Record, georgiarecord.com. And look for the Saturday summary article, and that'll take you straight to that video. There's a number of areas, and another one came out today that we found fascinating. We're going to play it, and then we're going to hear from some of the media that seems to be reacting to many of these statements and plans that Trump is coming out with. So let's hear what he had to say.
And the defund the police Democrats have turned our once great cities into cesspools of bloodshed and crime. There's never been anything like it. Here's my plan to restore law and order in our cities and throughout our country, frankly. First, because police forces have been gutted by Democrats' war on police, I will sign a record investment in hiring, retention, and training for police officers nationwide, so important. This bill will also increase vital liability protections for officers because the Democrats want to take those protections away from our police because we want them to do their jobs and we want them to do their jobs right. You can't take their protections away if you're going to have them do their jobs properly. Second, to qualify for this new funding and all other Justice Department grants, I will insist that local jurisdictions return to proven common-sense policing measures, such as stop and frisk. Very simple. You stop them and you frisk them. Strictly enforcing existing gun laws against convicted felons, cracking down on the open use of illegal drugs, and cooperating with ICE to get criminal aliens off our streets and get them out of our country. Third, we will go after the radical Marxist prosecutors who are abolishing cash bail, refusing to charge crimes, and surrendering our cities to violent criminals. They have surrendered like never before. I will direct the DOJ to open civil rights investigations into radical left prosecutors' offices, such as those in Chicago, LA, and San Francisco, to determine whether they have illegally engaged in race-based enforcement of the law. I will also work with Congress to give the victims of their Marxist policies the right to sue local officials for harm and suffering, and it has been great that they have caused. If your small business is pillaged because shoplifting goes unpunished, if you're brutally attacked by a violent felon released without bail or bond, then you will be entitled to massive damages. Fourth, I will order the Department of Justice, or some people call it the Department of Injustice right now, and Homeland Security dismantle every gang, street crew, and drug network in America. Every single one of them will be dismantled. We already know where these turf wars and drug dens are. We know who the people are. And we're going to charge them and charge the culprits with every crime that we can find. We're going to be fair, but we're going to be tough. We also need the death penalty for drug dealers. So important. And I'd add to that human traffickers. Drug dealers and human traffickers, they get the death penalty. Watch it stop and stop quickly. Fifth, in cities where there has been a complete breakdown of law and order, where the fundamental right of our citizens are being intolerably violated, I will not hesitate to send in federal assets, including the National Guard, until safety is restored. If Nancy Pelosi would have accepted our National Guard or our soldiers, you wouldn't have had January 6th. But she and the mayor of D.C. didn't do that. Sixth, we will end the leftist takeover of school discipline and juvenile justice. Many of these carjackers and criminals are 13, 14, and 15 years old. I will order the education and justice departments to overhaul federal standards on disciplining minors. So when troubled youth are out in control, they're out on the streets and they're going wild, we will stop it. The consequences are swift, certain, and strong, and they will know that. Seventh, I will protect the right of self-defense everywhere it is under siege, and I will sign concealed carry reciprocity. Your Second Amendment does not end at the state line. In addition, I will, of course, fully secure the border, dramatically increase interior enforcement, and wage war on the cartels. We have never had a border so secure as it was just 2 years ago, and now our border is the worst anywhere in the world and possibly of all time. There's never been a country that allowed to happen what's happening in the United States right now, where millions of people are pouring across our borders. They come from mental institutions. They come from the prisons. They're all being let out so they can come into the United States. They're poisoning our country. We will also take back our streets from the homeless, the drug addicted, and the mentally ill. I will discuss those plans in much more detail very soon. That is how I will bring back public safety to America. I want to thank you. We're going to make America great again, and we're going to make America safe again. Thank you.
Fascinating that just, yeah, you know, a handful of days have gone by and already we're getting a visibility to Trump's plans to address the areas that he said he was going to address when he was in the campaign.
Well, the threat of Trump, just the threat of him returning, has really upended everything. I mean, that's right. They are worried, and they are going to, it's phenomenal to watch. I mean, you know, it's the big stick approach, and it works if people believe you have it.
Well, and you know, justice is a word until you start seeing it play out. And once you see justice being actually observed and metered out, it's, you know, it's a change from what we've seen for the last 4 years, certainly. Our first guest is in the green room. Should we bring him in for these next couple of videos?
Yeah, let me do something real quick. Sure. The 80s are back. I'd like you to go to cdmstore.net and check out the merch. We have just great shirts, great designs. This is just one of them. This one and the Make America Healthy Again shirt are flying off the shelves, but cdmstore.net for our audio audience. Go ahead and bring in John. You like that one, huh? I'm going to send you one.
That's a great one. I'll explain that one later. Okay, let's bring in our first guest, John Ritchie, co-host of the Output Show, which is on CDM and other channels every morning between 10 and 12. John, thank you for joining us, my friend.
Hey, Bill. How's it going? Hey, Todd.
Hey.
It is more than a fire hose can carry, my friend. Thank you for
yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's on full blast right now, isn't it?
So we just got through letting the audience hear Trump's latest video talking about, essentially, I'll call it law and order, and some of the steps to bring that back into focus in the U.S. The media has been reacting to some of his promises ever since the election was completed. I wanted to play some of those, especially the last one we're going to hear, and I want to get both your thoughts on what this might mean, because some of it sounds certainly uncooperative and maybe more. So let's play this.
The Trump administration requests it. Would the Massachusetts state police assist in mass deportations?
No, absolutely not. But, you know, let me say this. I do think it's important that we all recognize that there's going to be a lot of pressure on states and state officials. And I can assure you, we're going to work really hard to deliver. Some realities also need to be, you know, noted. And that is, in 2016, we had a very different situation in the courts. And while I'm sure there may be litigation ahead, you know, there's a lot of other ways that people are going to act and need to act for the sake of their states and their residents. There's regulatory authority and executive powers and the like. There's legislation also within our states. So I think that the key here is that, you know, every tool in the toolbox has got to be used to protect our citizens, to protect our residents, and protect our states, and certainly to hold the line on democracy and the rule of law.
So isn't that interesting? Here the governor of Massachusetts is talking about holding the line against what Trump has promised, and essentially saying, no, we'd prefer to have these illegal aliens, you know, stomping all over our state and creating problems, as we've seen in many other areas of the country. Here's one more comment, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll play the last one.
Let misinformation become the accepted information. It is washed over us. Elon Musk, he buys Twitter, and then he uses it almost exclusively to be a propaganda machine, and we've accepted it. We've accepted a narrative that despite an actually great economic recovery, the vibes don't feel good. So we want to reject it and get something else. And the person we are now betting on to change all of it is Donald Trump. A man who did two almost impossible things. He won the American presidency twice, and he drove a casino into the ground. What will the future hold now that America has just decided that we're going to F around and find out?
not sure you can top that one-liner, but yeah, you know, clearly these folks have no intention of cooperating with any of this. They're going to try to put new spin on it. What do you guys think?
You know, one of the things I would say about this is that, I mean, two things. The governor of Massachusetts, that level of recalcitrance is just nonsense. There are federal laws about immigration. They've been ignored, just totally ignored. This administration has ignored them. They understand that. They know that these laws are federal laws. We have federal immigration laws. There isn't, you know, the states cannot undermine federal law. They can certainly attempt to supersede, to assist, to make them more robust, but the idea that they can come in and undercut them. And so what she's talking about, what the governor's talking about, it's all nonsense. But that second one right there, this F around find out nonsense. This woman right here is just propaganda. That's all that is. That's just straight out 100% lies and propaganda. And that's from the Marxist playbook. What is she trying to sell you on? She's trying to sell you on an economic comeback. Okay, there's been no comeback. The only thing economically that has come back in this country is poverty, is inflation. is high prices. Those are the things that have happened in this country. And the thing that they want to ignore is the lived experience of the American individual, the American person. They see it, they feel it. Now, if you're living in your little ivory tower like that woman is, somewhere in Manhattan or wherever MSNBC, whatever studio they have her in, and paying her all that money, she's probably not feeling it quite as badly as the average American, but the average American outnumbers her. And they voted. They feel it. They see it. So the difference there between the propagandist at the end and the woman from Massachusetts, the governor there, who that's just a level of recalcitrance. It's just not true. She knows it. And it's going to happen. The federal government's going to win this one. They're going to end up, those people that are here illegally can't be protected by her.
I found it interesting in that second video, she begins talking about propaganda, but calling X, you know, X.com, Elon Musk's efforts, propaganda. And it's kind of like, how could that be propaganda? I mean, you've got every idea under the sun floating around on X. Yeah. It's up to us to individually to make our minds up about what we trust and believe.
Yeah. That's childishness. That's like I said, that is just, the resistance. And we're seeing more and more of it. And I'm going to talk to it a lot tomorrow on tomorrow's show. Some of the levels of resistance we're even seeing now in DC amongst agencies that, they need to be careful. I mean, Milley's already started this, and we're going to see more and more of it at DOD, DOJ, FBI, and CIA. It's coming. Yeah.
Todd, what do you think?
Well, I want to hear John's, and I don't know if you want to, do you want to talk about the down ballot stuff now?
Let's get through this. I want to play one more video that's about, it's even a bit more concerning. It's another level to this. What we've seen so far is an inference of non-cooperation, simply resisting what Trump wants to do or calling it propaganda to take the power out of it. There's another level that people have been alluding to, and that is, are we done with the plans against Trump himself? And there's a notable number of different videos on X that are alluding to, isn't it a bit too quiet following the election? Didn't we expect more people to somehow, go beyond crying and perhaps, take some sort of steps to indicate their displeasure? Well, here's a comment that got made during another broadcast that is, in my mind, the most concerning of all of this.
Bottom line, as a former government official, government's going to kill this guy.
And the donor class can't just sit back on the sidelines and say, oh, well, don't worry, this will all work itself out. They're still going to have to go out and put a bullet in Donald Trump. And that's a fact.
You take on the intelligence community, they have six ways from Sunday at getting back at you.
That sounds pretty concerning to me. And the first individual, as a former government employee, it does make you question, are we through with this fight or are we still in the middle of it? And I think some would say we potentially are still in the middle of it. I have one more video that we'll show in just a minute, just to show that things are still going on. I'll let you guys comment on that if you would, please. Just kind of expand on what you think may be the risks here.
Well, of course, the risk is strong and high and dangerous. I would think that the only way forward is through, and we've gotten this so far. And I think a lot of that has been due to kind of the spiritual nature of this. People feel it. And I think that's the only way forward at this point to be successful, in my opinion. What say you, John?
Yeah, I agree. Look, it's just getting started. I mean, I'm not going to resist the idea that they're not going to go to the streets eventually. There's plenty of time here. There's a lot of space between now and January 6th and then January 20th. And I think the level of the resistance ideas have already gotten started. They're going to keep going. They're going to build up because they're making people angry now. That's what they're trying to do. They want to get this level of resistance going, but they want it at some point. They want people to start reacting. That's why you're seeing the same things you're seeing, the things they're talking about. I mean, they still state things that Trump's never even said he's going to do. And they're still using those to try to infuriate a small group of voters that have that are, I mean, you know, they're being, you know, they're being pushed to the extremes, right? And that's how you get them. It's through this type of constant barrage of information that, you know, it's not correct.
One of the things that I've noted in the last 3 days or so, folks are talking about the ongoing risks that are being dealt with, but we rarely see. We don't know what we're looking at because we don't realize the implications. I think we all remember the case where the pagers blew up in, was it Lebanon, and injured a bunch of Hezbollah folks. But up to that point, nobody had even considered the possibility of a hand-carried device being dangerous for hundreds, maybe thousands of people at a time. Well, one of the things that that I caught was a video of Trump leaving one of the rallies. And what most people don't realize is that cell phones themselves could be turned into some sort of a weapon. And apparently the Secret Service are well aware of that. If you watch this, you're going to see somebody dump a cell phone into the walkway in front of Trump. And immediately one of his Secret Service agents kicks it to the side and points to it to get others to deal with it. What I found fascinating about that is they had such, clearly that's a planned protocol, because one walks between the device and Trump and the other puts his feet on either side of it and stands over it until Trump is out of the perimeter. Yeah. So this is not clearly not something new that they're just now dealing with. They appeared to know exactly what to do to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that I'd seen that before, and I realized what that was. You know, you're exactly right. Just a protocol they're going to have to, and there's probably a lot of those in places right now. I mean, different ways of handling situations we would normally not see and go, oh, well, you know, we would normally not think of as a threat, or there's any kind of threat pattern to that. But you're seeing more and more of this, and they're going to have to, you know, I mean, just the level of security, I've seen it stepped up even more since the election's over now. His profile's gone up. They call it, the posture level is raised in kind, right? Mm-hmm. As the crowds and his profile goes up. I don't know how much more profile Donald Trump could have that he wouldn't have the highest level. If he's not getting a bigger Secret Service, if he's not being given a better level of protection than the Pope by now, I don't know what's ever going to get him there, but, yeah.
It was notable in that last video we showed with Trump speaking. He talked about calling in the National Guard, I believe, if necessary to deal with certain things. And one wonders whether, I believe there's pictures of him at a NASCAR event, and he has military, appears to be military around him at that time. So we wonder what we're going to see next to make sure that there's a secure perimeter around him.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, I think on that whole level, I think the border is going to be very key. And I think you may see military units deploy to the border fairly quickly. So that's going to be something I want to watch.
It'll be interesting. Should we take a break and then we'll go on to the next segment?
Yeah, please. Before we do, the Wellness Company is one of our best sponsors. Please support them, and not just for their emergency medical kits, but for their spike support protein and their supplements, or spike support formula in their supplements. I think, Bill, you were talking about really an increase in unknown deaths over in the very recent time since vaccines. And a lot of that is due to the continued presence of spike protein in the body. One way to get rid of that is the spike support formula at the Wellness Company. So go to twc.health/CDM for our audio audience, promo code CDM, twc.health/CDM, promo code CDM. And Bill, can you run an ad from them, please?
Yes.
Contagion kit is something new. Can you tell us about that and what's in it and what it's for?
Well, the contagion kit is specifically geared towards a respiratory virus. It mm-hmm. includes some of the medications that we've been talking about that are well known to be able to treat respiratory viruses. And mm-hmm. importantly, it includes a nebulizer, a mm-hmm. way to aerosolize a liquid medication so that you can breathe it into the lungs. Mm-hmm. Again, these kits are not meant to replace your doctor or a relationship with a doctor. They are not meant for you to fly solo. We have telemedicine visits mm-hmm. available if you have any questions about the symptoms you're having. There is a booklet in there as well that supports and kind of coaches you through what symptoms you may be having from something. So these aren't meant to be a panacea to replace mm-hmm. everything in medicine. It's a way, however, for people to feel and to be prepared, to be at the ready, to be more resilient, and to be more immune from the sorts of intrusions that we saw during COVID, where your insurance company or your own doctor or the pharmacist or the pharmacy was refusing to let people get a hold of medication.
Okay, so let's move on, and we're going to talk about a couple of specifics that will help people understand when we talk about this down ballot question or questions that are emerging, what we're talking about. You know, everybody had a good celebratory, call it 12, 15 hours. And then pretty quickly, the folks that are expert at election integrity started looking at things saying, wait a minute, something doesn't quite right, doesn't look quite right with a few of these races. And now the Kerry Lake race appears to be one of the ones that folks are focused on. John, I know you've done some preliminary work. We've done some preliminary work with the team here in Georgia. Why don't you kick us off and perhaps share some of the observations you've seen?
Yeah, I think the question that's come up here in Arizona is the question is, how do you have such a disparity between the number of people that came out and voted for Donald Trump over Kamala Harris, and then the same idea of how many people came out and voted for that the down ballot. Now we're talking about the Senate race in this case, and how many people came out and voted supposedly had voted for Ruben Gallego over Kerry Lake. Now you would have to have. Now, I've heard it explained a couple of different ways. On the right, people are saying, why would somebody come out and vote, go all this way out, stand in line, go, whether you mail it in, early voting, day of voting, you go out and you vote. You can see that Trump had about 1.5 million in this diagram that's up right now. And Kamala Harris had about 1.3 million. But if you look over to the right, and these numbers right here on the right are pretty close to what it is right now. And that is 1.394. So 1.3 million and Kerry Lake's at 1.3 as well. There's about a 30 some odd point or vote 30,000 vote difference. And right now the votes are in on this election. And under the Senate race in Arizona, they're reporting about 89% have reported. There's about 400,000 votes still out there, Sam. So, I mean, the first thing, but then on the other side, people are saying, well, why would it be that unusual? Maybe you just had this large group of Democrats that just did not like the Kamala Harris pick. They were angry about it, but they still went out, voted for Ruben. So, you know, could that be the case? Yeah, you've had four counties, really five, but the Santa Cruz County is so small, it doesn't really have a lot in it. But you have four counties. You got the one that has Tucson in it, that's Pima. You got mm-hmm. the one that has Phoenix in it, that's Maricopa. And you got the one that has Flagstaff in it, that is Coconino County. So these three counties plus Apache County, which is out in it's more of a rural area. It's more of where you have a lot of the indigenous, the tribal community out there. So you got these four counties that really have made up the majority of the Ruben Gallego, his vote. Now, when you go over to Donald Trump's, Okay. Maricopa County is red. Tucson's still blue and Flagstaff's still blue. And Apache County's still blue. So Kamala Harris is getting three of the major counties that that Ruben Gallego got, but Maricopa County is still sitting on the outside. It's red. So it went red for Trump, but it went blue for Carrie Lake. And that's the thing that, because that is an astronomical amount of support. He got 51. He's beaten her by 4 points in Maricopa County. I'm talking about Trump over Kamala. But right. You would have to then believe that Maricopa County, and that's the county where all these ballots have been dropping from, is still outstanding. That's where all these ballots are coming from. And Carrie Lake has said, Maricopa went for me. It didn't go for Ruben Gallego. They believe that this extended period of time, which they're saying, oh, well, they were curating ballots. They were checking signatures. They're doing all these things. Okay, they do this in other states as well. Well, you had two big, huge ballots full of all these. Okay, that
John
as well.
I mean, this is the third time they've stolen it from Carrie.
Yeah. Well, so second, she ran in the midterm. She ran it for the, and it's the same MO. Let me say this. It's the same MO. It is extend the game out a week. We're out tomorrow. It'll be a full week, and they're still 10% out. Now, I would tell you, there's a GOP, the head of the GOP here in Arizona. Her last name's Faboda. She put out a video. And this video goes through and explains the process of what they're doing. So she's trying to make sure you're aware of everything that's happening behind the scenes that has extended this thing out a week. The thing she's not explaining is why. Why are we having to do this process over the last week? Why haven't we prepared for this ahead of time? You have a month of early voting here.
Yeah.
Why are we now having to extend this out? And why did we not do this, let's say, before 2020? We never extended an election 5 and 10 days after an election until 2020 happened.
So I want to drive at what so Faboda, I mean, wasn't she fairly new? She came in and there was some controversy around her, if I remember right.
Well, I mean, she's been a heavy Trump supporter. She is. I agree. And she has been a hammer on coming in here and taking over the GOP in this state and really pushing the America First agenda, the Trump agenda. The problem is things like this. You see this and you're going, okay, Deborah, I understand they're curating. That means they got to call people and say, did you really place this vote? They're canceling ballots. If you came in and placed a vote in person, but they sent you a mail-in, they got to cancel that ballot out. They're doing all these processes. But my question is, why are we doing it now? Why are we, it's Sunday after an election almost a week ago, and you're still doing this? I'm asking, why weren't the people and the processes in place the night of the election to knock all this out and get it done?
Well, you're that's not the question doing I it. Do. Why is this still happening? This is the third time.
Absolutely.
So there and was, this is, what happened in Carrie Lake's last case? I mean, it got up to this, what, the Arizona Supreme Court kicked it out? Or?
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah, they won't even hear it. They tell her what she can put in and what she can't. So when they say, hey, look, we have something here to show you where they're replacing ballots, the judge won't hear it because he's part of this process.
So how do we break that and take a special counsel?
Here's what's got to happen. Here's what's going to have to happen. And it's going to happen in Georgia and Pennsylvania as well. This president is going to have to come into office and say, I'm putting a task force together. We have to have it. We have to go into these 6 swing states where we had down ballot questions, where we can see there's a conflict. And why have we extended when every other state in this nation is capable of counting their votes and being done? Why is Arizona, you're talking about less than 3 million votes. Why are they still out? What is in your process that's causing this, and why are you still doing it? And I'm going to say this, and I'll go out on a limb here. I understand that there's people that say you can place a down ballot vote that differs from the head of the vote. Got it. You're right. Could. Why are we saying could? Why don't the people have a vision of these ballots and firsthand look at how they're being done and what's being done? Why aren't the people checking this work? Why don't we get to see it? See, you keep saying could, and that's what you see when all these influencers come out on the social media. They say, oh, well, could be this, and it might be that, and it could possibly be this. Okay, that shouldn't be the answer, though. The answer should be, here is why. And if you don't believe it, here's where you can go to look at it and check it. Here's how the people can get involved in it. But that's not what we get. We get people behind glass, and they're back there counting, and you got two shifts versus three shifts. It's just incredibly off kilter. And what I'm saying is the people are not involved in this process other than putting a ballot in. They say, well, you can check and see if your ballot is. Yeah, I check and see. I put a ballot in. Yeah. I don't know where that ballot went. I don't know what happened. And I want to know why you had a disparity. You had announced a certain amount of votes, and now you're announcing there's even more or there's even less. And you're not coming back and explaining this differential when you say we're going to have a ballot drop. We shouldn't even have this. So my point is this. Until we get a government, a federal government that says, here's the baseline of rules for an election, you have to follow them. Other than that, what color your ballots are, but we're not going to have machines. You're going to have one day of voting, and you're going to have to show an ID and prove citizenship. Boom, done. Until we get to that level.
I think there needs to be a special prosecutor. I mean, it's obvious to me.
Well, I agree. They should have a task force. They should say, we're going to make up a task force, and it can be both sides. So you got full clarity and see it. But we're going to go in and look at 2020. We may even go in and look at 2016. We may need to go back a little bit. I saw a guy online. He sent this to Elon Musk, and it said Grok went in and made, and they had him look at this pattern. And the AI, Grok, on Twitter, it came in and looked at it, came back and says, this has probably been happening all the way back during Reagan even. That's how far back they think this down ballot voting issue and the conflicts in there have occurred. I saw a woman, she came up and she says, we have the same thing out here in North Carolina now. You had this guy, this governor win, but the same people, you're telling me the same people that pushed so hard to get Trump back into office voted for a bunch of people that are going to just get in the way of him doing his agenda. That's nonsense. I mean, I'm just saying, where's the reasoning behind that? But you can say, okay, well, it could be this. All right, I agree with you. It could very well be. A bunch of people went out and said, we want Trump at the presidency, and then we want a Marxist like Gallega to come in and obstruct everything he does. Okay, that could be, but I'd like to get rid of the could. I'd like to understand why this is.
And well, it has to be an investigation.
Absolutely, there does.
Florida, we can tell him how they did it in Florida. We've talked about it, Bill and I and you, actually, and Gleason. We've talked about it. So all you got to do is have somebody actually look at it. And then it all breaks down. So hopefully we'll do that.
And
we'll see.
And here, look, my preferences in this election have gone through so far. I'm not sitting here. This isn't sort of, I'm just simply telling you there's something wrong with this election in this state that they're still counting ballots and they're the only ones. And again, I want to make this clear to you. 2.9 million votes. That's what we're talking about total. We're not talking about 12 million like in some states. We're not talking about 8, 10 million. Under 3 million votes. And we can't get them counted on election night. There's a reason why this process is. And here's one for you. Your legislator in this state, I'm talking about the House, they already put a bill together that would have gotten rid of all this process and made them have to count on the night of. And guess who wouldn't sign it? The same person that took advantage of it to get into the governor's office in this state, Katie Hobbs. So you're seeing this is the perpetuation of a process that allows for this level of, and I don't even want to use the word fraud. I just want to say of questioning, of doubt.
by the people. The people doubt the elections because they're not transparent.
I think Bill wants to say something here. Go ahead, Bill.
No, that, well, what I was going to do is expand on. You made two points. One is, you know, why isn't it we can't get the data? And if, you know, why isn't the data made public? But then even when it is, it seems that that data may not be correct. And right. one of the examples of that is this letter that was written on behalf of Carrie Lake by her this attorney and calls on Pima, one of the two biggest counties that you mentioned, to explain certain strange anomalies with regard to their vote tallies. And I expanded this so we could see this. So this is over the course of essentially 2 days, the 7th and the 8th, and reporting through the Secretary of State's reporting system, the number of ballots essentially left to count. Now, think about this for a minute. You should have all the ballots in hand, certainly by the 7th, and you would know the total number of ballots you have and the number that remain to be dealt with. That right. number over the course of time should always go down, right? As you count right. more ballots, the number remaining should go down. It's like, imagine a stack of ballots. What the attorney calls out is two problems. One is, if you look here at the number of ballots ready for tabulation, that seems to go back up from 81 to 109. The number of uncounted ballots goes from 106 to 120, and the percent completed goes from 79% back down to 76.9%. Even more troubling is the fact that what isn't shown here is that this report, which is labeled 1523, which is military time, so that would be 323 for those of you guys that are past military, check me on this.
you're right.
But essentially, this set of numbers was different when that report was originally released.
Yeah.
This set of numbers was replaced over the ones originally released with no difference in the timestamp. How could that be? And the attorney asks that specifically. How could you have two different sets of data labeled at the exact same time and date that indicate two different results? And the second result, the one that we're showing here, doesn't seem to be in line with logic. If you're counting down ballots, you have less to count after you've counted more ballots. So where did these extras come from? And I think you mentioned this a few minutes ago.
Well, I wonder, have you either of you heard if this is going to be challenged?
From what I understand, it is. She's planning a full challenge if they've still got 10% of the vote out, though. And so supposedly, I think that they're trying. Here's the problem. And I think that tells you. Pima County, which is south of Maricopa County, is blue. This county down here is blue. You can see it, and it is a blue county. Tucson is a blue. Maricopa is a red county. Now, what their bar is to get Ruben Gallego through the door is they have to make Maricopa look blue. Now, it went all red for Trump again. And the problem is I don't believe they had enough votes up there, because if you look at the vote count there, you'll see the differential in Pima County. I believe Pima County is where they're trying to draw votes into Maricopa to be able to make that work, because the numbers are so close to the same when you look at the differentials they're talking about. I believe they're using Pima County as a base because it's blue. It's all run by a bunch of Democrats. The BOE is run by a bunch of never Trumpers and Democrats. So I believe that it's there is where, because you got all the lawyers and all the RNC people up in Maricopa right now. They're watching this. They think Pima's closed. Pima's not closed. I'm telling you right now, and you just showed it between the 8th and the 7th, how in the time. You can see that it was higher earlier on and lower late. You can see the difference.
And what I'm saying is that they're not paying attention to this. They're not, the attention needs to be paid to what she filed there in Pima County, because that is the nexus of this.
What I find fascinating too is if you look at the lower section here, by the way, this is reporting from the New York Times, current on their website. I do not know if it fits exactly to what you showed earlier, but it is, folks can do their own checking on the New York Times page for these numbers. But in any case, isn't it notable and interesting that Gallego, however you pronounce it, actually has more votes in Pima County than Harris does?
Yeah.
248 versus 242. And Lake got less than Trump.
Yeah.
Both of those seem bizarrely odd to me.
Yeah. It's your differential. That's what I'm saying is Pima County is the place. It's the hub of all this because there's no controls over what's going on down here. And people don't pay enough attention to it because Maricopa's up there and it's our most popular county.
How can people not pay attention to it? I mean, this is
because I think before, because this is so blue down here, people just accepted what came out of here. But when you start, it's when you get into the numbers that you understand it. And now people are paying attention to the numbers and they can now go in and see and go, wait a second, you went from here to here, back down to here. And if you look at the times, those don't make sense. How did you, where did all these extra votes come from? And I'm going to tell you, if you look at those extra votes, how many did I say she's down right now? She's down about, I think, about 38,000 votes, about, let's say 40 total. And that's as of this morning. I can look real quick here. Yeah, she's down. He's got 1.471 and she's got 1.426. So just over 40,000 ballots is what we're talking about here. And if you go into those numbers you're looking at, you can see that those, it hovers right in that same amount. And when, if you can't reconcile, this is what the task force is going to have to do. They're going to have to go in and say, give me your election rolls and give me the ballots. If these do not comport, and when we see things that don't, we're going to call voters and talk to them. We're going to do an investigation of this. And until they do that, this whole thing is going to continue to be this way, because all they're doing is Maricopa is offshoring the ballot production down here to Pima. And Pima's going to come up with some nonsense as to how they got, oh, well, we jumped from 76 to 79, but we're at 76 now.
Well, I think what's going on here is the cartel is just adamant they're not going to let.
They're fighting it tooth and nail. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's why Gallego's in there.
When I say cartel, I mean election cartel, but also the cartel.
Cartel. That's what I'm talking about. That's why Gallego's in there. That's why you have this attorney general and this secretary of state. These are all links. They've happened. And until we get a task force, and I can, you can bring on some of the, you bring on the Democrats, let them be a part of this. Let them be a part of this. But this task force has to go through and they have to look at it. They have to investigate all this. It's got to be uncovered.
It's notable that you bring up the fact once you can get a hold of the data, you can uncover what's really happened. And all I can think of is, you know, here in Georgia, the state election board asking for the ballot images from Fulton, and the lead attorney for Brad Raffensperger won't give it to him.
And
will not give it to him.
Why?
Thank you, Charlene McGowan. Appreciate it.
Why are the people not allowed to check your work? They did it here in Maricopa. They've done it here in Pima, and they're doing it out there in Georgia. It's the same nonsense. This is your vote. This is your election. You paid for it. What the hell is going on when we're not allowed to see what's going on? And our officials, not your officials, don't pick the people that are going to check it. Let me pick them. I want my people looking at them. And that's the problem you have.
Yep.
Let's do a John. I think. Thanks for coming on. We'll see you.
Absolutely.
Go tomorrow. What do we got going tomorrow?
Tomorrow we're gonna look at some of this resistance and we're gonna break it down in some detail. I think the people in our audience is gonna be shocked at what we're seeing on this. Your heads are gonna explode. But we've got to out this early. Get it out there because we've got to have people doing just like we're doing here. People have to be looking at this.
So that's output 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Monday through Friday, all over CDM channels, X, Getter, Rumble, on the CDM.press. You'll find it everywhere. Thanks, John.
See you in the morning.
All right. That's good. Real quick, let's run an ad from David Cross, if you don't mind.
You bet. This is a special
report. Knowing how to invest your money is harder than ever before. Dealing with stock market volatility, record debt, and terrorist attacks requires new thinking. At U.S. Asset Management, we can help you see the world more clearly so that you can move beyond the chaos and invest with confidence. Call us, visit us online, or drop by our office. U.S. Asset Management, helping you make better decisions with your money.
And if you have a change in life, a divorce, sale of a business, death in the family, whatever, transfer of wealth, talk to David. That's his specialty at usassetmanagement.com. And if you want to protect your portfolio with precious metals, please go to cdmmetals.com. Use a patriot. Don't use somebody who's not on our team to buy your precious metals and hedge your portfolio. Go to cdmmetals.com for our audio audience. All right, Bill. Where are we
going? All right. We have sort of precious few minutes left. We're gonna move the video of your discussion with Peter McCullough to Wednesday. I do want to spot a specific report that Dr. McCullough has made along with several other doctors. This is a study, and I'm going to zoom in on it in just a minute. This is a study done across Kings County, Washington, which is essentially Seattle, and it notes a dramatic increase in heart-related, in most cases, sudden death. And it seems to be directly related to, beginning in its inception, around the time that people would have either acquired COVID or gotten the jab to hope, you know, treat COVID or prevent it. Let's zoom in on it for just a minute, and I'll show you what it says. 98% of the population in Seattle got the jab. And what they're seeing now, you can see that this number is 2020, and there was a slight increase in cardiopulmonary arrest deaths, many because of ventricular fibrillation, pardon me. But you'll see that the chart is going up dramatically. This number represents approximately a 35 to 40% increase year over year. And it's still going up. This is only through the last data that was acquired. That's dramatically concerning. But more importantly, they think that they have some reasons why. You're welcome to go review this on Twitter. But again, for time's sake, we're going to cut to the chase and suggest that they appear to be, the study appears to tie together certain types of hormones or chemicals and their potential to cause ventricular fibrillation in certain conditions, one of which is exercise. And it's when you get dopamine, norepinephrine, and epinephrine going through your system that this can be triggered. When the spike proteins and some level of fibrotic material is within the heart muscle, fibrotic material has a tendency to be associated, I believe, with inflammation. So we're going to get some more information on this from Dr. McCullough. But look at this. The other time when those chemicals have a tendency to be released in your body is during what's called waking sleep, which is some people refer to it as REM sleep. And that is from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. So in other words, what this seems to indicate, and we're going to invite Dr. McCullough on to discuss this in more depth. What it seems to indicate is that when those chemicals are released in your body, it can trigger this condition, which can cause a cardiac arrest situation and potential death. Is this getting worse or is this getting better is one question we want to ask. This chart would suggest that it's not getting better, but we will reserve conclusion until we get a chance to talk to Dr. McCullough. But this entire schema is concerning, and it's concerning because many people thought, well, you know, based on what Dr. Redstone of the CDC said, your body gets rid of the spike proteins over time. Well, does it? And does it do it effectively? Or are there things that are left behind which can still cause problems? These are the questions that we want to research more in the coming days and bring you guidance on what this might mean. This is the study is in admittedly one key county, but it's a pretty populous county, and it is a county that had a very high vaccine rate. So we want to keep eyes on this in the coming days.
Great stuff, Bill. I guess we'll see everybody Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Please check us out on Output 10 to 12 every day, Monday through Friday, on all CDM channels. And then the Georgia Show Wednesday at 7 p.m. this week. And we'll delve into all of these topics. And really love the way the show team and schedule's coming together, Bill. We're really complimenting each other really well. And the election coverage was off the charts. Fantastic. And thank you for that. Didn't have a chance to say that.
It's all a team effort, isn't it?
It is. And we'll see you Wednesday night.
All right. See you then.